it is, of all things, it is surprising that a government that is going to, in about 3 months' time or so, there about 3-4 months' time, ask people to vote it in again, cannot handle a simple crisis like the ASUU. Like, first of all, it went on forever. Then, thanks to Honorable Gbajabi Amila, he stepped in. And in 2-3 days, in quick succession, we found a solution to it. And now egos have set in. You don't want to pay these lecturers. Even if they didn't say anything, even if they didn't say that they were going to go on strike, simple common sense will tell anybody that if you had taken away their salaries, you have won the battle, but you have not won the war. And therefore, what you are going to have is lecturers who are completely unmotivated. You know, that's what I heard people reacting this morning, and they don't seem to get it. Egos have come in the way. I do not understand this government anymore. The Ministry of Labour that has put itself forward as handling this crisis, instead of the Ministry of Education, the Minister of State is busy doing politics, and he doesn't even think, the government doesn't think that he should resign so that somebody else can fill in that gap. He's going from one state to the other campaigning. Nothing wrong with that, but at whose expense, and what do we get from that? The anger I have this morning is beyond the issue of ASUU, because it's even almost infantile. I've seen train strikes in the UK. I've seen labor strikes. I've seen it never goes beyond 4 or 5 days, because everybody is responsible and think of the people first. Here is the opposite. I would have thought that after that crisis for so long, the last thing the government would want is any ruffling, you know, of the students' calendar. Motivate these people. Let them try and play catch up. Though one listener called and said something that I agreed with. They never really play catch up, but at least they attempt to. We have a state of emergency in university education. And it is bad that even a month or so after some kind of resolution, after the intervention of somebody, and it took just 3 days, but it had been on strike for 8 months, we are still where we are today. You know, that's why I feel like going to the trenches, you know, and then so we can come out full blast and face these various phenomena that we have. Look at, Sherif was reading this morning.
Mm.
In a state, six members?
Six members.
Of the House, no, how many members of the House of Assembly?
They have 25.
Yes.
So some reports say six, some reports say seven, some reports say 17. So from our news this morning, it was 17.
But they went to the House at 6 a.m. At 6 a.m.,
that's right.
To carry out a so-called impeachment. I mean, I don't understand these things. I don't understand these things. And some of the people who were in the trenches in the past have found themselves in the wrong trenches of money. So the place is vacant. After the exit of the Ganifawa Emis and the Bekor and Sokutis and so on and so forth, everybody has been bound to the Philistines. And it's so annoying because, okay, so here I'm constrained. I don't own this studio. I mean, I can't. And there are laws that go with it. Otherwise, I would have gone full blast. And I do feel...
said we should go on space. Let's go and do Twitter space. Or we do podcasts.
Maybe we should do podcasts. Mm. Because I also look at the elections that are coming up.
Mm.
Look at the issues that have cropped up. And all of us, our hands are tied. We sit back and look. Some of them highly critical. And yet we sit back and look, and we are ready to hand over this country to people, you know, to persons who have quote and unquote questions to answer. The system watches, the people watch. And slowly but surely, if care is not taken, we are inching towards a disaster. I don't know. I will not say that I will call on the government to do the right thing. And I am fully in support of the lecturers in this. I was told that some of them got as low as 90,000. What work do members of the National Assembly do? Look at what they take home. And the Labour Congress is there. You can use NUPENG and whatever. Well, if you use NUPENG, it's because they're accused anyway. And this government wants us to vote for them in 2023? Heaven help us all.
Indeed. You can watch us on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is what you need to search for. And you will be here and watching and dropping and engaging with others watching as well. Let's go from the Vanguard to the Punch. On page 12 of the Punch, presidency, North can't dictate to others, says Adebanjo.
Chief Adebanjo has endorsed Obi. He shouldn't pour sansan in his gari. Everybody knows, anybody who knows anything about politics knows that you have to negotiate your way through. It's not peculiar to Nigeria. It's not even a matter of going to the North. And what the North has said, which is quite makes a lot of sense to me, is that you have to come and negotiate. Chief Adebanjo uses one word here that is very dangerous, and that word is not relevant in the disposition of it. He says that it was said that the Southeast must come to negotiate with the North because politics is a game of numbers. Yes, he has to. If you're going to... He has to. Chief Adebanjo's principal was a fantastic man, but in politics, some of you might not know, there was a time we had two candidates from the South. Of course, he didn't go anywhere. And the supporters were still arguing that he won the election. He doesn't go there. This, I don't know where we have derived this sudden hatred for each other, you know, that never existed. When I was growing up in Yaba, you had everybody, you know, from the east, from the north, and we all, I remember the good old Vidijalo in my neighborhood. I went to school with some of his kids. There was, during the Civil War, we had an able man who stayed with us for 4 to 5 years. We hid him in the house. And everybody was, so I don't know where this sudden, some people just have this. And thank God for NYSC, thank God for Yakubu Gawan. Over the years, it has been able to dissipate part of that hate, inner dislike that we had for each other. Chief Adebanjo says, my case is, and I told people yesterday, the case for the East is not to beg for a favor. It is their right. It is their right. I'd like to put a circle around that. It is their right in as much as they also take into cognizance other people's rights to vote for whoever they want. Chief Adebanjo should not mislead Peter Obi on this, but I think Peter Obi is too much of an old fox. Those were actual group politics of those days. Today, you have to negotiate with everybody. And that's why you will give kudos, at least in that regard, to the two principal actors. Aside from Obi, definitely people like Achiwaju and Atiku, they know the game. You have to negotiate all round. Like Abiola will say, you can't clap with one hand, you clap with two hands. But if a man has only one hand, he can clap with his thigh.
Yes, he can do that. he can clap with his chest too.
Part of my humor is coming back to me. I was very angry this morning. Anyway, so he said that each time I hear this, you go around the North because the North has a population. What problem population? Chief Adebanjo, the North has a population, at least on paper. Whether that population is real or not, it usually comes to play in politics. So I hope, anyway, with the likes of Donyo Kupe and so on and so forth, they provide some balance. And he says that what right has the North to dictate who will become our president? They're not dictating. Why do we always get scared? I mean, they're saying that, okay, fine, they might just say that this is our person. But we are the ones who are always divided in the South, and they know the game, and they don't talk. But let's leave that for now. That's what Chief Adebanjo just said yesterday at some forum in the Nigerian Institute of International Affairs during a public lecture. Politics demands that you negotiate with everybody all around, all shades, religions, name it. That's because votes is simply an issue of numbers. How many people vote for you? But what is more worrying than all these is the fact that some things I imagine that we would have thought the system would take care of. So for those who should know and for those who should do something, there's a conspiracy of acquiescence and there's a conspiracy of silence. And we're watching ourselves inching slowly into the abyss. And people of stature are not saying anything. People who should be able to look certain persons in the eye, think of the country first, and talk to one or two people are not doing so. It is very, very sad. Now, I'm speaking in parables. I leave you to decipher what I'm saying. Mm. But I know this.
This man
understands me more.
I'm not going to ask what I wanted to say, but.
Ask what you wanted to say.
I wanted to ask a question before, ask but because of time. Let's move on.
No, you can take part of my program and ask.
Part of your program, Abi? Yeah. Okay, good.
No,
good.
I have to just come.
I was going to take you up on that very quickly. And that's going to be a great one, by the way.
Yes, Chief Bodejot will be here at 9. The APC people should go find something to do today because I'm not going to ask him any questions. There's enough questions to ask him. He's here just to talk about the PDP, the PDP crisis. So the APC guys can go on a vacation if you are not. Because I know they'll be waiting. And we already know his views on them, so there's no point repeating that.
So you just talk about PDP.
It will be about PDP. That's all. PDP, and it will be about Lagos. Nothing about APC. We already know where he stands on that.
Okay.
If you don't know, go to YouTube. There are many.
All right. Let's stick to the punch. There's this story on page 14. Politicians will use dump you. IG warns policemen.
Thank you, IG and policemen here. But this also applies to everybody, especially our own colleagues in the media. If you put your reputation on the line for a politician, heaven help you. Now some people have a problem. The reputation they have built over the years is being demolished, at 120 kilometers per hour, because they have allowed themselves, they've put their reputation on the line for politicians. I will never do it. The other day, one politician was saying that, I don't know if you heard, or if you read it, saying that Jando was saying that I'm one of those who go and collect money from Alausa. And I was so happy he said so. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the people in Alausa had also said that I was collecting money.
Yeah.
We get that all the time.
We get that all the time.
And like I said on Saturday, what looks like and whatever it is, rather than being angry with him, I thank him so much for putting things in the balance. They will use you and dump you. Trust me. When you are needed, they will go the extra mile. So be careful, not just politicians, even our young people. You abuse people on Facebook, on Twitter, and whatever, or you are used as thugs. You put your life on the line for a politician. The average Nigerian politician doesn't think of any other person but himself. First, even before his wife and his immediate family. But they are second and third in line. So you need to know that. The Inspector General says, he says, officers and men of the Nigerian police force to be apolitical during and after the next general election. He issued the warning during a visit to the Kogi State Police Command headquarters in Lokoja. Excuse me. He says, let me sound a note of warning to you all. Be apolitical before, during, and after the forthcoming election. You mustn't allow yourselves to be used because they will dump you after the elections. I just thought I should bring this to the fore. It's not just politicians. Those of you who feel you have a reputation to protect, guard that reputation close. Members of INEC, okay, be very careful with your dealings with these people, okay? And it is sad that we have to take out a certain set of people and be warned about, The IG is also referring to his boss. His boss is also a politician. I don't think he thought of that, but it is sad that the people that we suspect so much are the ones who are leading us. They are the ones who are going to decide the fate of the rest of the country, and see where they have led us now. They will come with promises. They will come polish everything, make it look. And the greatest of spins comes from them. The greatest of spins. Some of the spins are so bizarre that even children in primary school will say, uncle. But that's politicians for you. They always look at them. You don't need to go that far. Look at the activities all over the place. They're always targeted at their own. It's always their own, you know, it's their own interest that is paramount.
Indeed. Let's go to page 13 of the Daily Trust. Minister disowns 206 billion naira insertion in humanitarian affairs ministry's budget.
Now, listen to this story. This is Nigeria, okay? 2022. The Minister of Humanitarian Affairs, Disaster Management and Social Development, I didn't even know we had a ministry like that, Sadiya Umar Farouk, yesterday disowned 206 billion. 206 billion inserted in the ministry's 2023 budget. Disowning 206 billion means she doesn't even know about it. She didn't approve of it. Okay. And she said this during a budget defense session with the Senate Committee on Special Duties. And she said her ministry was surprised that the fund meant to implement projects for the Northeast Development Commission was inserted in the budget after a similar request in 2022 was not released. She goes on, a member of the committee had asked the minister, in 2023, you intend to borrow 206 billion. The minister doesn't know about it, for some projects. What are the projects to be implemented? And are they captured in the medium-term expenditure framework? If they are, what are the specific project locations and activities? And the minister replied and said, yes, we made mention of the projects for 2032. Part of it was for the NEDC. The money was not released, and now we are seeing it recurring by almost tenfold. And she says, we are also going to clarify from the Ministry of Finance to know why this increase, in spite of the fact that the previous year, the money was not even released for the project. So we'll get the details and then send to you. This is how your country is being run. Nobody from the EFCC has called the minister to say, how did this thing, let's start an investigation. No. We will send the details later if we do get them. So the Ministry of Finance, is that what she's saying? Were they responsible for inserting this in the budget? Now, let me tell you what happens a lot, unreported though, what I suspect happens, is that you do find certain interests put certain things in certain budgets, so that they can go grab the money. And in an election year, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know whether that is what happened in this case. But surely, it should be amazing to you that 206 billion will be found in the budget of a ministry that the minister doesn't know anything about.
It's not peculiar to her. Exactly. I was going to say that. I don't think this is the first time this is happening.
And it won't be the last.
Do you know why it won't be the last?
Yeah. It won't be the last, because there is usually a conspiracy of silence and whatever. By now, maybe the minister would have gotten a call that, you don't worry.
Why did you even say that?
You should have said, yes, nod your head, you know. It's almost, you know, they make it almost impossible for anybody who wants to preserve his dignity and honor to want to take up public office in this country. Honestly, I mean, how am I a minister? That's why when people say, I can never touch anything government. How do I, as a minister, there's something in my budget and I don't even know about it? Had it been passed, how would that money have gotten into the hands of whoever?
The last budget that she said wasn't released, what's the guarantee, what's the proof that it wasn't released? Maybe she's not even aware.
The truth is there's a cartel that runs from the politicians to the civil servants, members of the National Assembly. Okay, this story is not a front page story, it's not a front page lead story, because it happens all the time during budget sessions like this. And I don't know how we feel to the outside world, where somebody who's in charge of a ministry will say, sometimes you even have, it's the National Assembly that will be telling you, no, you must insert this amount there for this
project. The National Assembly does.
They are the ones who say that you must.
They do that virtually all the time.
I don't understand these things. I don't know who is going to bail the cats in this country, but definitely we can't continue along this way. I don't know who or how we are going to try to turn things around. Another 8 years of this, I hope this country will be able to stand on its feet.
Hopefully. We'll see with Daily Trust, page 20 this time. Man beats wife to death in Ogun.
Yeah, you know, we had something like this last week, but we did bring it, but it keeps reoccurring. It keeps reoccurring, and I'm getting very worried. A 45-year-old man beats. There was one, was it on Saturday also, a case like this? But this one beat his 42-year-old wife to death. He said the deceased sister told the police that the victim was beaten and injured by her husband over a minor disagreement. The one of Friday or Saturday that I saw, this man beat his wife to death and then put on the iron and used the iron. He used the hot iron on her. And in his naivety, he claimed that, it was an electric shock and so on and so forth. Okay, now, so when the police got there, they found scars on the woman, but they found no scars on the hands with which she would have held the pole that shocked her. It was so... You just got it. It's beginning to get worrying. Look at this other one too. Woman's corpse discovered in a Lagos guest house. That there's one Alpha Sule of unknown address. He lodged at the guest house with the woman. And later in the morning, he left his Bajaj motorcycle and so on and so forth. Omeho, he disappeared. And when the manager of the hotel was going around, he found the woman dead in the room. So they're now looking for, what's his name again? Alpha Sule. Another tragedy here. 11 family members have died after eating a meal.
That should be in Ebonyi.
Yes. This one is for a Dear Bumi session. My wife is married to another man, businessman tells court.
His wife
is married to another man. They're sharing. Yeah.
It's all right.
It's good to share.
Okay.
Calm down, Navit. Why are you getting
I'm just readjusting my mic. Let's go to the Vanguard. Ondo hairstylist poisons self after being jilted by boyfriend.
We had two of such incidents in the past 1 or 2 weeks. And this is also becoming, is becoming a normal phenomenon. So that after a while, it might not even make the pages. Remember the one who fell off the bridge in the water, and the unfortunate lady who he was said took some poison. And now this. And this stylist reportedly poisoned herself after her husband jilted her. The man said, "I'm not doing it again." And she decided to kill herself. And it's the same. Can I call the name of the poisonous substance?
No, that's
not. Okay.
Let's not do that.
Okay, I won't do that. But it's an insecticide. Okay, very sharp. So that's what she took. I think probably we need to take a second look at having that in public arena. I'm sure all of you know what I'm talking about. Okay, but did she die? The mother was said to have seen an empty bottle of the whatever in her hands and therefore rushed her to the state specialty hospital. Doctors have been battling to revive her since she was rushed to the hospital. So she's still alive, but in very bad condition. We want our medical persons to look, especially from the psychiatric area, this phenomenon of people killing themselves once they are jilted. What is it about relationships? Relationships is like being at a bus stop. If one bus goes in another 10 minutes, another bus is there to pick you up. I don't know why people have to jump in the water, kill themselves and do all these things, because of other people. Maybe there's something behind it. Because we all of a sudden is becoming more, we're getting more cases than usual, much more cases than usual. And so we pray for the life of this woman in Ondo, Tunrayo Balogun. If she survives it, It should be, you know, hopefully you'll be able to find a young man who can look after her.
I mean, heartbreak is very painful, can be very painful.
Well, I think you just have to master it.
Ah.
You have to master it.
Breakfast is, people handle this thing very differently.
Yeah, I mean, look, by the time you get to the age of 30, 35,
yeah,
you've been through one or two. So you just have to, it's not easy for you to, that's why I was telling somebody over the weekend that, look, my philosophy in life now is that anything I'm doing, I know it's going to end one day, one way or the other. Yes, you're not going to die together, so either one of you dies or walks away. So you need to steel your mind and prepare your mind for these things. You know, for like Marcus Bello, she was the one who told me that, look, Jimmy, these things is like, it's like being at a bus stop. You know, one bus goes, bus 488 goes, bus 489 will come in 15 minutes and off you go again. You must approach life with a light-hearted, you know. No, nothing lasts forever. It could be death. It could be separation. You could go. In which case, sometimes you'd rather go than be left behind, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, things like that and grief. I understand. I've been through grief once when I lost a loved one and the person died. It wasn't easy.
Yes. Yeah.
You just have to brace yourself. I think maybe age also helps. After a while, you get used to it. How many times have you been jilted?
We'll discuss that on Spaces.
I caught you for the first time.
Spaces. We'll talk about that on Spaces. I've had my fair share. I'm not even going to deny it. I've had my fair share.
Did you? And so, you know, one day, dear Bumi, I put a question and I said that.
Yeah.
I do want dear Bumi one day without that content. I will discuss issues. What is the best way to break up with somebody? Is it to send an email? Or is it to tweet it so the person will read it on Twitter? Or is it to pick your phone and say, hello, how are you? Yabo, sorry, I'm not doing again. There's no best way to do it. Just like, how do you break bad news to anybody?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. To those who have conscience, it's always like they are the ones that would suffer the heartbreak first before they even tell the other person. Yeah, for those who don't have, they can do it anywhere and anyhow, they don't even care.
There's no conscience or no conscience, it's a very difficult thing to do.
And that's what I'm saying, to some people it's not difficult.
You uncle,
like I, to some people it's I don't break up with people.
They break up with you.
You can't yeah, I've had my fair share of it. Leave Yvonne is there. Everyone is okay. So we have to go. We really have to go. We're completely out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming.
Right,
Chief Body Judge is here at 9 o'clock on Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu. I'm Sheriff. He's Jimmy.
Have your say in what we say.
You always make good points.
We talk the talk.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.